Right, boys and girls, answer me this question if you can. Have you ever met anyone, or do you know anyone, who goes around picking on people? Have you ever... Oh, there's a few points at husbands and wives here. Do you know any... Is there anybody in your school, maybe, and they go around picking on people? No one's ever met anyone like that. Well, that's good, I suppose. That's good. Unless it happens to be you, Nathan, Sam. You ever played a game and somebody comes up and they go, and they knock the game off? Or if it's on your phone, they turn your phone off. Or if you're doing something, they want to stop it. They want to break it up. They want to stop you doing the thing that you want to do. What would you call a person like that? Nice. A bully? Wouldn't be very nice, would it? Somebody who wants to stop you doing the things that you want to do. Well, the person that we're going to learn about in our story today, he wanted to stop something. He wanted to stop people doing a certain thing. There's a lot of pictures today, so Ben's going to be busy. The person in our story is a man called Saul. And he wanted to stop. Do you know what he wanted to stop? He wanted to stop people learning about God and about Jesus. He was desperate to stop it. Now, in the bit of the Bible just before what we read, something quite bad had happened. Can you see the man lying on the floor? Now, in the previous chapters of Acts, we heard about a man called Stephen, and he'd been killed. People had done something terrible, and they'd thrown stones at him, and they'd killed him. And Saul had been with them. He wanted to stop people learning about Jesus. He wanted to stop the gospel spreading from place to place. If Christians were meeting and he could find out about it, he and some of his men would come in and disrupt it. Imagine being in a meeting like this and people run in and they try and arrest you. They try and take you away. They stop you meeting to worship God. Now imagine if you'd been taken. Stand up, Nath. I'll pick on you. Imagine if you'd been taken by soldiers and maybe beaten up a bit. And maybe arrested, put your hands behind your back, and maybe marched off, and maybe thrown in prison. Oh no! Imagine that. And imagine you got released, so we'll release you, you can come back. And then it's time for another meeting. Would you go to the next meeting after you'd been arrested? No, well, at least you're honest. Lots of people were scared when the persecution came, when the soldiers came to arrest people. And so, lots of people started. What are they doing? What are they doing? What do you think they're doing, these people? They're waving, they're packing up their bags, they've got baskets on their shoulders, and they began to leave the city of Jerusalem and go to other places. And some of the people went to different cities, and some of them went to a place called Damascus, which we're going to see in a minute. So some of those people left, and Nathan said he'd have gone too. Well, I don't know. But one day Saul went to his leaders. He went to his leaders and he said, I want you to sign off on this rule. I want to do something bad. And on that scroll, there was a rule that said, I want to go to Damascus and I want to go to the people in the synagogues at Damascus and I want to go and find Christians there because I think some of them have run away to Damascus and I want to go with some soldiers and if I find Christians there, I'm going to grab them. I'm going to grab them. We're going to arrest them and we're going to bring them back to Jerusalem. That's what Saul said he wanted to do. And did he get permission to do that? He did. He did. So the leaders said, you can go to Damascus to find more of these Christians and to bring them back. Well, next slide, please, Ben. That was quite a long way. It was quite a long way. People reckon it's about 175 miles or so. Maybe not quite as far as here to London. But last weekend, we went to Cardiff to see Phil and Josie, June and Malcolm's son and their children. And that's about that kind of distance. And we went in the car, and on Saturday, how long did it take in the car? How long did it take? Go on, you can speak. five, no, more than 5 hours. It took about 7 hours. And in the back of the car, there was, oh, when are we going to get there? Oh, it's taking so long. Oh, we're never doing this again. And that was just Ruth. Seven hours. Well, that's in a car. That's in a car. How do you think Saul would have had to get there? He'd have either had to walk or go on a horse or a donkey, wouldn't he? A long way, and it would have taken a long time. But as he got near to Damascus, to the place he was going, something amazing happened, and we read it in the Bible just before. Something amazing happened. Can you remember what it was? You know this story, don't you? He saw, what did he see? Can you remember what he saw, Chloe? He saw a really bright light. Now imagine if we shut the curtains and if we shut the doors and we turned the lights off and it was dark and then we put the lights on full blast, you'd go, oh, that's bright. But this was even brighter than that. This was something that he'd never seen before. He saw a bright light, and the light was so bright that it made him fall to the floor. And if it wasn't just the light, then something else that was strange happened, because a voice came and the voice said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Now, how do you think he felt? How do you think that he felt? If it was you, Sam, how would you have felt?
Sad.
Sad? A bit? Nia?
Scared.
Scared. I think he was scared. I'm sure he was scared. And Saul, oh, you've done it. And Saul was lying there on the ground, dazed and blinded. And he said, who are you? Who are you, Lord? He said, who are you, Lord? That's strange, isn't it? Do you think he knew who it was? But he said, who are you, Lord? He'd been a religious man, Saul. He'd been trained by the cleverest religious people of the day called the Pharisees. He knew loads and loads of stuff about what he had of the Bible. He knew lots about it. But Jesus was appearing to him, and Jesus was speaking to him. And the voice said, I am Jesus. I am Jesus, the one who you are persecuting. Do you know what persecuting means? It means to go after people and get them. And that's what the voice said. And then the voice carried on and it said, now get up and go into the city and you will be told what you've got to do. Do you think he was still scared, Nia? Do you think he was still scared?
Yeah,
that's exactly right, because he still couldn't see. Imagine if you were walking home or going for a walk later, and you saw this bright light, and you heard this voice from heaven, you would be scared. Well, there were some men travelling with Saul. Who do you think these people were that were with him? Who do you think they were? What were they going to do? Why were they with him? Were they part of the team that was going to go and arrest people and bring them back? I think they were. And look at him now. He couldn't see. His eyes were so probably hurting, and he was blinded, and they had to take him. Imagine, come on, Chloe, stand up. Oh, you're not playing. Come on then, Sam. Close your eyes. And can you walk from here to the piano in a straight line with your eyes closed? Do you think you can? You can try. Keep going. Keep going. Now watch these wires. Health and safety hazard. Go on, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. That's pretty good, that's pretty good. But would it be easier if somebody took your hand and you've still got your eyes closed, cheat. And if somebody's got your hand, then you can trust them that they're going to lead you the right way, can't you? And that's what Saul and his friends did. They led him into the city of Damascus. Now, it's funny that the Bible says that his friends, or the soldiers that were with him, they hadn't seen anything. But Saul had heard the voice of Jesus. Now, they led him on into Damascus. Can you see? They've taken him by the hand. And the Bible said that for 3 days and for three nights, he didn't eat anything and he didn't drink anything. And he must have been sat in whatever room he was in, thinking about what had happened, still probably scared, still probably wondering who this was, and thinking about the one who had appeared to him on the road into Damascus. But into our story comes another man. And into our story comes this man here, and his name is Ananias. Have you heard of him? Ananias. And he was in Damascus, and God spoke to Ananias in a dream or a vision. And God said to him, I want you, Ananias, to go to the house of Judas on a road called Straight Street. That's a funny name, isn't it? Straight Street. Would you like to live on Straight Street? You wouldn't forget it, would you? And God said to him, I want you to go there. And when you get to the house, I want you to ask for a man called Saul of Tarsus, because he's there and he's praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man called Ananias come and place his hands upon him like this, so that his sight might be restored, so that he'd be able to see again. Wow. Now, Ananias was like, what? Did you say Saul of Tarsus? I've heard of that man, Lord. I've heard all about him. I've heard that what he wants to do is to go around and arrest Christians and take them off and maybe treat them badly and maybe put them in prison. I've heard about him, and I've heard that he's coming here. And you tell me he is here, and you want me to go and help him? That's the sort of thing Ananias was thinking. Now, what would you have done? If you were asked to go and help, if you had an enemy, somebody that you knew really didn't like you, and they were in trouble, and someone said to you, your mum said to you, will you go and help them? Would you do it? It'd be a difficult thing, wouldn't it? Be good if you could. Ananias knew that Saul had come to Damascus for a bad reason, to make trouble for Christians, but God was asking him to go and help him. And help Saul. But he thought, perhaps he was worried. Can you see? He looks worried. Perhaps he was scared about what might happen. And he thought. And he prayed. And God said to Ananias, I am going to use this man Saul. I'm going to use him. I've chosen him because he's going to go to all kinds of people. He's going to go to kings. He's going to go to the people of Israel. He's going to go to people who aren't Jews, that the Bible calls the Gentiles. I'm going to use him. So what is Ananias going to do? Is he going to obey God or not? Well, he does. He obeyed God and he went to the house. The Bible says he went to the house on that road called Straight Street, and he found Saul. And when he found him, imagine going to see somebody that you knew didn't like you. Can you imagine that? You'd probably be a bit nervous. You'd probably be thinking, I'm not sure what they're going to say. I'm not sure how nice they're going to be to me. I'm not sure maybe if this is a trick. But Ananias went to him, and the Bible says he said, Brother Saul. Straight away, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on that road, he has sent me to you. He sent me to you so that you can see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So there he is. That's Ananias gone to find him. And he's put his arm around him and he said, The Lord has sent me to you. And you know what? The Bible tells us that something amazing happened. Saul couldn't see, could he? He couldn't see. But as Ananias was with him and prayed, the Bible says that it's almost like something fell from Saul's eyes and suddenly he was able to see again. And then he looks happy. Wouldn't you be happy if you hadn't been able to see for a long time and then you were made better? And he was able to see. He was able to have something to eat. He was able to have something to drink. And he felt better and he felt stronger. But the Bible says that he did something very important. He was baptized. Now, do you know what it means to be baptized? What does it mean?
What happens
if we haven't got it here? We had it in our old church, didn't we? What do people do when they're baptized? You ever seen one? They go into some
water.
And they're telling people that I've changed. I used to live like this. I used to live for myself, but now I want to live for the God and for the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to follow him. And I want to tell people that I want to follow him. And Saul was baptized. Now, sometimes people are baptized and they've lived a good life and they've lived in perhaps in a Christian home, but they have been converted, and that is fantastic when anyone is converted. But I wonder how the people felt when those who saw Saul baptized and they thought, him? Baptized? He's here to get Christians. He's here to kill Christians. He's here to make trouble. And he's saying that he wants to follow Jesus. That is an incredible thing, isn't it? That must have been so powerful for the people who saw it. And Saul had changed. He changed because he'd met the Lord Jesus. And so when Saul was in Damascus, he was able to spend time with some people, some Christians, and he was able to talk to them about the Lord. He was able to share things with them. And I wonder if people thought, yeah, he's really changed. He's a completely different man now. And Saul began to spend time with them, but he also did something else. What do you think he's doing here? What do you think he's doing there? He's preaching. He was able to go to the synagogues and he was able to preach and he was able to teach people that Jesus is the Son of God, the Bible says. A few days earlier, a week or so earlier, he'd have preached the opposite. He'd have told people, don't believe that Jesus says he's the Son of God. And now he totally changed. Well, not everybody was happy about this. Some people were. Can you see these people talking? What do you think? What do you think they're going on about? What do you think?
What's happened to Saul?
What's happened to Saul? And some of them thought, what's happened to this man? He says he's changed. I don't think he's changed. Do you think he's changed, Sam? Do you think he's changed? Do you? They weren't sure. And they began to talk. Isn't this the guy who was trying to have Christians put in prison? But Saul really had changed. Go on, Ben. Saul really had changed. And he was able to tell even the people that weren't sure that, yes, I have changed. And Jesus has changed me. And now I want to follow him. Well, some people weren't happy. And the religious leaders in the city, they still weren't happy. And they thought, do you know what? I think we should get Saul. Can you see what they're doing? They're lying in wait for him. And the Bible says that the religious leaders, they stood at the gates of the city and they thought, we're going to get him. He came here to get Christians. He's turned into one of those Christians. We're going to get Saul and take him off somewhere. And they stood and they waited and they waited for Saul. And when they caught him, they were going to do something bad to him. But the Bible says that Saul escaped. Do you remember how he escaped? Do you remember from the story how he escaped? We'll see it in the next picture. Some people helped Saul escape. Where is he?
In a basket.
He's in a basket, and some people let him down over the city walls, and he was able to escape from Damascus. And then he went back from Damascus to the place that he'd come from at the start. Do you remember the town he'd come from at the start?
Jerusalem.
Brilliant. He came back to Jerusalem. And when he got there, he went to the disciples. And he kind of came up and said, I'm back. Can I join you? Can I join you? I want to be one of you. I want to be with you. I want to be with you telling other people about Jesus. Well, the disciples, at first, I wonder how they felt. There he is. Saul wants to join with the disciples, and they're thinking, ooh, we know what this man was like. We know the sort of things he used to do. And I wonder what went through their heads. Has he really changed? Is this a trick? Now, have you ever tried to go and join something or do something or join a group of friends and they've said, no, we don't want you? How would you feel? How would you feel? A bit.
Left out.
A bit left out, Chloe, yeah. A bit left out. A bit sad, maybe. And Saul wanted to join the disciples, but somebody helped him. A man called Barnabas helped him. And he put his arm, come here, Sam, for a sec. And he took Saul, and he might have literally put his arm round him, and he took him to the disciples. And he said, this man has changed. The Lord Jesus Christ met him on the road into Damascus, and he has changed. He's preached to people about Jesus. He's told people that Jesus is the Son of God. He's told people that Jesus is the way to heaven. He might be in danger himself now because he knows that the religious leaders are trying to get Christians, but he doesn't mind about that. He still wants to tell people all about Jesus. Barnabas helped him. It's good, isn't it, to be able to help somebody who's left out, as Chloe said. And Barnabas took him to the disciples, and the disciples accepted Saul, thank you, Sam, as one of them. And people began to listen to him, teach and preach. And even then, still people tried to get at him. He was able to speak, but even then, some people still wanted to kill him. But he was able to escape, and he was able to stand in the cities, and not just in that city, but lots of other cities, and tell people all about Jesus. Now, later on, he changed his name. He was Saul, and he became Paul. And Paul wrote lots and lots of the books that are in the Bible that we have today. And the church began to grow. And the Lord Jesus had used Saul, or Paul, in a great, great way. Now, we've nearly finished. You've listened really, really well. The Bible tells us in John chapter 12 of how Jesus was talking to great crowds of people, and they were listening to him speak, but they didn't really understand some of the things that he was saying. And Jesus had told the people that one of the reasons, or the main reason he'd come to this earth was what? What was the reason that Jesus came to this earth? What had he come to do in the end? To save us from our sins. And how would he do that?
He died on the cross.
Brilliant. And he was telling the people this. And he said, the Son of Man must be lifted up. And the people said, we don't understand what you mean. Who is this Son of Man? Who was the Son of Man? Who called himself the Son of Man? Jesus did. And the people didn't understand. And Jesus said something to the people that maybe they found a bit funny. Jesus said to them, you will only have the light a little while. You will only have the light a little while. Walk in the light before darkness overtakes you. The light. What did Jesus mean by that? What else did Jesus say in the Bible about being the light? It's quite a famous verse. Jesus said something about, he called himself the light of the world. Brilliant. Jesus said that he was the light of the world. And Jesus was saying to the people, I am the light of the world. I won't be here on this earth like this forever. I'm with you now and you still can't see it. If you don't come to me, who is the light of the world, then you will be in darkness, Jesus said. And the people didn't really understand it. But boys and girls, this life doesn't really last that long. You're young and you've hopefully got lots of years ahead of you. I know this is hard to believe, but statistically, more than half my life is over, probably, because I'm 41. But the Bible says that we have to come to Jesus, who is the light of the world, because there is a eternity to come. That is a long time. It's a much longer time than the time we have on earth. In fact, it's forever and ever. And God's word tells us that Jesus is the light of the world and that we can walk in the light with him. See, when Jesus was talking to those people that we just mentioned, they'd seen him do miracles. They'd seen him do some fantastic things. But John says that even after Jesus did some of these miraculous signs, the people didn't believe in him. They didn't believe in him because their eyes are blind. Now, do you remember in our story how Saul was blind for a while? Wouldn't be nice to be blind, would it, to see? But Jesus gave Saul, or through Ananias, Saul was able to see again through his eyes. But Saul had actually lived a long time in a different type of darkness, hadn't he? He'd lived in what the Bible would call spiritual darkness because he was following the wrong thing. He was doing the wrong things. He believed the wrong things. He didn't understand that Jesus was the light of the world and that he needed to trust in him. And when Jesus met him and when Saul asked, "Who are you, Lord?" Then after that, Saul's life changed completely. And boys and girls and mums and dads and friends and anybody here today, we can come. We can come to that same Lord Jesus Christ because he offers each one of us that gift of salvation. Because, as the children have reminded us, he died upon the cross to save us from our sins. And what we have to do is to come to him, to say sorry for our sins, which the Bible calls repentance, and turn, like Saul did, away from his old life, totally away from his old life, and to turn to Jesus and to follow him. To follow him. And then we can trust him for everything that is to come. We haven't got time to talk about it today, but Paul went through some difficult times after he became a Christian. It wasn't all perfect. It wasn't all happy. He had some hard things happen to him. And Amon's preaching through the book of Acts. But he could trust the Lord Jesus, not just for today, but for every day that is to come. And that's what we pray for you and for everybody here.